This is Audible.
Ghost Camera. Written by Darcy Coates. Narrated by Maren McGuire. Chapter 1. Janine tackled the lighthouse stairs two at a time, her lanky legs eating up the distance. The air was cooler there, hidden from the summer sun, and the thick stone walls muffled the noise from the wedding reception. She wanted to get to the top and take a photo before the cake cutting. She wasn't the official wedding photographer, but the hired man was only taking posed photos. If she got some good candid shots, she could make an album as a present for Helen when she returned from her honeymoon. A photo from the top of the lighthouse would be perfect for the cover. Janine reached the top of the stairs winded but elated. The trapdoor was already open, so she slipped into the room above. The lighthouse hadn't been used since shipping companies changed their routes nearly a decade before. A strangely sticky dust, infused with salt by the wind that swept over the bluff, covered every surface and made her shoes gum to the floor. The now defunct light hung in the center of the platform, taking up most of the room, with a narrow stone walkway running around it. The highway's brick wall was periodically studded with support beams, and Janine had a perfect view of the wedding reception below. She scooted around to find a good angle, then took her photo. As she stepped back, her sneaker bumped something small and solid. Someone had abandoned a black and gray Polaroid camera. Judging by how dirty it looked, it hadn't been touched in years. Janine picked it up and examined it gingerly. Other than the dust, it seemed in good condition. Out of curiosity, she raised the camera to her eye, angled it at the wedding guests, and took a photo. To her delight, it clicked, whirred, and spat out a black and white square. Janine put it in her pocket to develop, slung the Polaroid strap around her neck, snapped a second photo with her digital camera, then raced down the stairs. She opened the door at the base of the lighthouse and took a step back as an aging, sour-looking man blocked her way. "You oughtn't be up there," he said, and paused to spit on the ground. "It's not safe. Little boy fell from the landing a few years back. Died."
"Oh, I'm so sorry," Janine whispered.
She gazed up the length of the tower, and unease dribbled down her back. She felt strange, knowing she had likely been standing where a child had spent his last moments on Earth. She looked back down to see the elderly man shuffling away from her, toward the groundskeeper's cottage behind the church.
"Sorry,"
she called, but if he heard her, he didn't give any sign of it. Janine hurried to join the other guests, arriving just in time to photograph the cake cutting. As she waited for the caterers to pass out the plates, she touched the Polaroid camera hanging around her neck. She wondered if it had belonged to the little boy. The thought made her feel queasy, and she pulled the camera off and hid it in her bag. It was dark by the time Janine got home. She opened the door to three mewling, disgruntled cats.
I know,"
she whispered as she turned on the lights and waded through the rubbing, crying felines. "I wouldn't like being left alone all day either. How about I give you a special treat to make up for it?" She dished up three plates of raw meat, then went to her room to change her clothes. She dressed casually for the wedding, but slipping out of the slightly too tight jeans and into her pajama pants still felt good. Before throwing her jeans into the laundry, she frisked the pockets to make sure they didn't hold any tissues or stray coins. "Huh," she muttered, pulling out the Polaroid. She'd forgotten about it in the buzz of the wedding. The picture wasn't bad, she supposed. It had the inherent graininess and off colors of a Polaroid, but showed the wedding reception relatively clearly. Janine had half expected the film to be a dud after so long. She smiled and pinned the picture to the corkboard above her bed. Train tickets from her trip to visit her crazy spinster aunts in the mountains, and zoo passes from when she and her best friend Bree had spent an afternoon watching the penguins. Letters, photographs, and trinkets hung above her head to give her pleasant dreams. The three cats, finished with their dinner, filed into her room one by one and took their places on her quilt. Janine showered quickly, then crawled into bed between the warm balls of fur. She dreamed about the photo. It was perfectly clear in her mind. The happy bride hanging onto the groom's arm, talking to her father. The three aunts gathered around the drinks table, already on the verge of being tipsy. The professional photographer arranging the bridesmaids in a line in front of the cake. At the forefront of the picture stood a little boy. Blood ran down his distorted face from where the top of his skull had been crushed.
He stared upwards directly at the camera he had once owned, oblivious to the wedding reception behind him. While the rest of the Polaroid was grainy, his eyes were sharper and clearer than any modern camera would have been able to achieve. They were completely white, bleached of iris and pupil. Jeanine woke with a smothered shriek. She grabbed at her covers, disturbing the nearest cat and causing it to roll over with a yawn. She huffed in a few tight breaths as she oriented herself, then turned on her bedside lamp. The photograph hung from the corkboard directly above her bed. She carefully unpinned it and held it up to the light. To her relief, the boy was not there. The bride and groom were still talking to her father. The aunts were still indulged in the relaxing powers of champagne, and the photographer was still hustling the bridesmaids into a line. But there was no boy. Jeanine exhaled deeply and rubbed the chin of the largest cat, which was kneading her thigh. Something about the photograph was definitely off, though, and after a moment, Jeanine realized what it was. Because the picture was so grainy, she hadn't noticed it at first. But pale figures stood among the crowd. She counted 6 of them. Some were partially obscured by people or tables, and some seemed to be huddled among the partygoers, joining their conversations. Jeanine brushed her finger over the clearest figure, trying to understand it. The woman was transparent, looking almost like a human-shaped wisp of smoke. Then she spotted a 7th figure. Crouched behind one of the shrubs that bordered the church's lawn sat a little boy, his knees pulled up to his chin and his arms wrapped around them. He was hidden so well that he was barely visible, except for his head, which was turned towards the lighthouse. Jeanine threw the picture onto her bedside table and clambered out of bed, careful not to disturb the cats again. She pulled on a dressing gown and slippers and looked at her clock. 4 a.m. Too early to call Bree. She went into the kitchen, turning on every light in her path. She filled the kettle and turned on the radio, then made toast to while away the early morning hours. Bree opened shop 2 hours before anyone else Jeanine knew. Rosie Posey, Bree's floristry, was a tiny corner store near the center of their rural town. Although it was small, the shop was brightly lit and overflowing with bunches and boxes of flowers. Bree had forgone university and used her life savings and a substantial loan from her parents to open the shop when she was 19. It ticked over reasonably well, making her enough money to pay her bills and her part-time assistant, Nina. The distinctive smell of pollen and sap mingled with flower scents hit Jeanine's nose as she pushed open the door. Bree was already behind the counter, preparing homegrown daisies while she waited for the biweekly delivery of fresh flowers. Jeanine and Bree's friendship was the quintessential attraction of opposites. Jeanine was reclusive and passive. Bree was loud and active. Jeanine was ungracefully tall and wore her tawny hair long and straight, but Bree, who was short and stocky, frequently added colors to her pixie cut of black curls. That morning, it was streaked with pink. Bree broke into a grin when she saw Jeanine. "Morning, Sprocket. I missed you at the after-wedding party last night." "Sorry, I was tired. Was it fun?" "Absolutely. What could be more fun than watching Vince throw up all over Tiffany?" Bree leaned forward conspiratorially, because that totally happened. "Ew. See, that is the exact reason I don't do parties. Clearly your fun-o-meter is broken." Bree pointed her scissors at a stool, indicating Jeanine should take it. "Talking about things you don't find fun, how come you're up so early?" Jeanine pulled up the stool to sit at the counter opposite Bree. "Actually, I wanted to talk to you about a photograph. I took a picture at Helen's wedding yesterday, and some weird things have shown up on it." Bree continued to hack at the daisies, pulling off leaves and trimming stems. "Do you mean weird in a hilarious way or weird in a creepy way?" "Creepy, definitely creepy." "Sweet," Bree said. "Let's have a look." "Oh, nice angle. Where'd you scurry off to?" "The lighthouse," Jeanine said. Watching Bree scan the image, waiting for her to notice the pale shapes. "Damn, girl, clever thinking. Hey, there I am." Bree jabbed her finger onto an orange and red blob near the bride. Jeanine forced herself to be patient. "Notice anything odd?" "Hell yeah. Why did you downgrade your Nikon to a Polaroid? It's the 21st century, Jenny. People use digital now." Bree glanced up and placed one hand over her heart, putting on a fake concerned face. "Are you in trouble? Do you need money?" "Be serious," Jeanine said, waving the picture in Bree's face. "I found the camera in the lighthouse." "But look at these."
Bree, determined to play out her joke, clapped her hands to either side of her face in mock horror.
Jenny, you stole? I can't believe it. Oh, Lordy, poor, sweet, innocent Jenny has been reduced to a life of crime.
Hmm. Janine dropped her head onto the counter in frustration.
The picture, Bree. I think there are ghosts in the picture.
And she's hallucinating, too, Bree cried, but she picked up the Polaroid to have a second look. For the first time since Janine had entered the store, Bree lapsed into silence. Her smile faded into bewilderment, which in turn morphed into intrigue. Without saying a word, she set the photo on the counter, then disappeared into the storeroom at the back of the shop. She returned, carrying a square magnifying glass. She placed it directly over one of the pale shapes in the photo and put her eye to it. Janine held her breath while her friend examined the image.
Damn, Jenny.
When Bree looked up, she had an odd expression on her face, half nervous and half excited, with a hint of exhilaration.
I don't recognize any of these people. I never forget a face, and I swear I've never seen these people in my life.
Encouraged by her friend's bewilderment, Jenny pointed to the child crouched behind the hedge. The lighthouse keeper said a boy had died falling off the lighthouse. I think this is him, and I think the camera was his, too.
Bree let her breath out in a whistle.
If you weren't such an adorkable stick in the mud, I'd think this was a prank. She fixed Janine with a hard glare. It's not, is it?
Cross my heart.
Janine made the sign of a cross over her chest, something she and Bree had done all the time when they were children. I came to you because you took that course in photography last year. I thought you might be able to tell if it were a glitch or something.
Bree picked up her scissors and began attacking the daisies afresh.
She put a little more force behind her snips than she had before. Well, for starters, Polaroids don't glitch in the way you're thinking about. That's all digital. What can sometimes happen, though, is that there can be double exposure. Or sometimes light will get on the picture and damage it while it's still developing. So, yes, this could just be a big mistake, but really, look at it. She paused in her cutting just long enough to jab a finger into one of the female ghosts. This isn't some blob of light. It's a fully formed, somewhat transparent person.
Someone who definitely wasn't at the wedding.
Exactly. I mean, I might suspect double exposure, but look at her. It looks like she's really there. With double exposure, two images are juxtaposed, and you'll get all of the awkwardness that goes along with that. Objects will be the wrong size, people will be floating in midair.
But she's not. She's the same size as everyone else.
Standing on solid ground like everyone else. Heck, that little boy is even interacting with the shrub. It's either the luckiest coincidence I've ever seen, or we've got something pretty significant on our hands.
Finished with her daisies, Bree scooped them up and propped them in a bucket of water. She then pulled out rolls of ribbons and began cutting them into lengths for wrapping around bouquets.
Do you still have the camera?
Oh, yeah.
Janine pulled it out of her bag and handed it to Bree, who put down her scissors to examine it.
It's an old model. Looks like it's from, what, the 80s?
That's what I thought. Bree opened the film slot just enough to check inside, then closed it before the light could damage the film. Mind if I take a picture?
Go for it.
Bree pointed the camera at Janine and clicked the button. The flash blinded Janine for a second, and when she blinked, white blobs floated across her vision.
Harsh flash. Quit your whining.
Bree grinned, placing the undeveloped picture under her desk's placemat to protect it from light.
These things take, what, 4 minutes to develop?
You're the expert on cameras.
Only on proper cameras. Digital ones, not these dinky relics.
Bree handed the camera back to Janine and returned to her ribbon snipping.
Do you have any plans for tomorrow?
No. What about you?
Just work. Saturday's a slow day, so I was thinking of closing early and catching a movie.
You weren't going to visit Travis?
Ugh, don't even mention that jackass.
Bree threw an empty ribbon roll towards the bin. It missed and clattered to the floor. Bree and Travis had been dating for nearly 4 years. At times they were inseparably in love, and at other times they hated each other with a scalding intensity. Janine found their relationship bizarre, confusing, and extremely fascinating. She drew her knees up to her chin.
What did he do?
He bought the hottest chili sauce he could find and slathered it all over my sandwich. Can you believe that?
It burned so bad I thought I was dying. That butt-face filmed the whole thing and says he's going to put it on YouTube.
Janine resisted asking for the link and mumbled a commiseration instead. Travis loved pranks almost as much as Bree did. Their next argument would undoubtedly be about Bree's revenge. Bree finished her second roll of ribbon and threw the scissors down with more force than necessary. Photo should be done by now, right? She pulled the picture from under the mat and stared at it. Her eyes grew wide.
What? What? Let me see.
Janine hopped off her stool to look over Bree's shoulder. The picture showed Janine sitting behind the desk, smiling awkwardly at the camera. The bouquets and boxes of flowers in the background were fuzzy, and the odd tints and colors Polaroid specialized in saturated the picture. The only colorless part of the photo was the woman standing behind Janine. Long hair hung limply around her gaunt face and empty eyes as she stared at the back of Janine's head.
Oh, Janine whispered. Oh.
An itch crawled up and down her back, making her hair stand on end. She knew the answer, but she still had to ask.
There wasn't anyone behind me when you took that photo, was there?
Bree gave a wild, high-pitched laugh.
Babes, no, especially not looking like that. Oh, hell. Do you think she's still there?
Shoot, babe, she better not be. Not in my store. Bree looked up at Janine, her eyes filled with frantic energy.
You want to get out of here? Would you come with me?
The door slammed open before Bree could answer. They both jumped, and Janine shrieked,
Don't mind me, ladies, just bring in the flowers.
Burke, the delivery man, backed into the room, guiding a trolley carrying a dozen boxes of fresh flowers, which he set in front of the counter. Janine placed her hand on her heart, waiting for its pace to slow.
That's the lot, Brianna,
Burke said, as Bree hurried to get his pay out of the till.
Thanks, see you Wednesday.
Sure as rain. You ladies have a good day now.
Bree waited until his truck had roared into life and driven away before speaking.
You'd better go.
Her voice was steadier, but her fingers trembled as she picked up both Polaroids. She placed them in an envelope and sealed it before handing it to Janine.
I know you've got exams you need to study for. Go do that and promise me you won't look at or think about these photos while you're doing it, okay?
Okay, Janine whispered. She felt as if she were back in middle school, being lectured by the older Bree on how to eat lunch properly.
And Janine, if I were you, I'd burn them.
I'll think about it. Bree swept her into a tight hug. Stay safe, babe. I'll call you later, okay?
Sure,
Janine said, hugging back and wishing she could avoid ever letting go. Chapter 2. Janine dropped the envelope into her kitchen benchtop. Three cats coiled around her legs, and she realized she hadn't fed them that morning. Cooing apologies, she fished food from the fridge and divided it into plates. The photo sat on the counter, waiting for her attention. She pulled out her law books instead. She was nearly 3 years into the 4-year course to become a solicitor. She'd been doing well in class, well enough to have a decent shot at getting into one of the two local offices. Possibly even one of the bigger firms in the city, if she could get a good referral. She scraped her chair up to the counter and opened Brian Garner's The Elements of Legal Style, while the photos in the envelope tugged at her mind. Could the camera be a prank? She wondered. A toy, carefully styled to look like a Polaroid camera, but with the digital capabilities to add the ghostly figures? It would need to identify the shapes in the photos to place the images appropriately, but that's still within the realms of digital ability, right? Janine slammed her book shut and approached the envelope. She picked it up, hesitated, put it down, then picked it up again. Bree had told her to ignore it, and Bree's advice was usually solid. She was the one who had her life organized. She had a business, her own home, and a mostly steady boyfriend. Bree was arguably the more mature of the pair. That meant her opinion should carry more weight than Janine's. Janine tore open the envelope and picked out the second picture. It was exactly how she remembered it. Her own face, blinking at the camera, the start of a goofy smile at the corners of her mouth. Directly behind her stood the being with limp hair, hollow cheeks, and dead eyes. It was more than a digital trick. The ghost was looking directly at the back of Janine's head, not just in her general direction, but directly at her, focused on her with the intensity of a predator stalking prey. Janine placed the photograph flat on the kitchen counter and rested her chin in her hands, pressing her fingers over her mouth. What are the possibilities? It could be a prank. Some clever, well-designed, well-devised prank. Or the camera could show actual ghosts, walking among humans, invisible except when captured on film. She bowed her head until it touched the top of the counter. It was cool and solid, something real she could concentrate on. Ghosts. Real ghosts. Around me, constantly. She raised her head and picked up the photo again. If it were fake, there would be breadcrumbs. All she had to do was find them, which was easier said than done. The Polaroid was grainy and the colors looked straight out of an Instagram filter, but as far as she could see, the image was seamless. The ghost seemed to be standing about 2 feet behind Janine. The shadows over her transparent face matched the store's lighting. The edge of the counter overlapped the lower half of her body. Janine caught her breath. On the other side of the window that faced the street was the boy from the wedding, the boy who had owned the camera. His face was pale, serious, familiar. Janine put the photo down with shaking fingers. The camera was in her bag. It still had film in it. I could take another photo just to see if the photos were real, just to see if the boy had followed her home, just to see if anything else was in her house, standing behind her, perhaps, watching her with dead eyes. She put the photo back in the envelope and hid it on the top of the bookshelf, out of sight, then turned the TV on and set the volume just loud enough to provide background noise. She went back to the kitchen to retrieve the bottle of wine her aunt had given to her as a gift when she'd graduated from high school. Janine had never opened it, but she was jittery and anxious, and half a glass of wine might help her calm down. Just half a glass. She poured the wine into a water tumbler and sat at the kitchen counter. The law books lay forgotten beside her, and the TV played noise from a bland reality show, while she stared at the wall, trying to ignore the camera. Bree let herself into Janine's house shortly after 7 o'clock. Every single light was on, and the news was playing on the TV. Bree put her shopping bags onto the kitchen counter and leaned over the back of the couch where her friend was slouched. "Hey, babe, rough day?" Janine looked up and hazarded a watery smile. "The worst. I'm sorry. I looked at the picture." "Oh, Jenny." Bree wrapped her arms around Janine's torso, giving her a rough hug. "Look, we'll figure this out." "That's not all." Janine pulled her legs up and hid her face behind her knees. Bree let go of her, rounded the couch, turned the TV off, and flopped onto the lounge next to Janine. "Tell me your sins, child, for I am greatly forgiving," she intoned. Janine snorted with suppressed laughter, then quieted. "I got drunk." "Still drunk now, babe?"
No, well, not much."
"So what happened?" Bree's smile disappeared as realization flashed over her face. "Oh, you took more photos, didn't you?"
"There were 5 Polaroids left. I used them all."
Janine picked up a pillow and began toying with its tassels, blinking tears out of her eyes. "Can I see?"
"They're in the kitchen."
Janine waited for Bree to find them. She focused on the cushion she was holding, feeling the soft fibers of the tassel between her fingertips and tugging on a loose strand. Bree sat down next to her. She flipped through the photos, pausing to absorb the details of each snapshot. "Oh, hell, babe, you should have called me sooner." Janine shrugged, avoiding her friend's eyes.
"It's not like you could have done anything. There's nothing that can be done. I can't get away from them. There aren't ghost-free zones."
Bree sucked on her teeth as she looked through the photos more slowly. Janine's fattest cat jumped onto the arm of the lounge and sat, watching them with disdainful eyes. There were 5 photos. 1 from the living room, 2 from the bedroom, 1 from the bathroom, and 1 from the hallway, looking into the kitchen. The snapshot of the hallway didn't show much. The hall itself was empty, but a whisper of white in the kitchen, mostly hidden by the wall, suggested the motion of something trying to hide itself a moment too late. The photo of the living room only had 1 being in it. A woman stood in the corner, facing the wall. Her shoulders and knees were bent as though she had a skeletal disease. Her long nightdress was stained in places, and her bald head was turned just enough that the camera caught the glint of 1 eye. Bree quickly moved to the next picture. The shot of the bathroom showed Janine's face scrunched, anxious, and flushed from the wine, reflected in the mirror. 2 other beings, both male, appeared in that photo. The first, old, bald, and repugnant, was lurching towards the camera, an outstretched hand reaching for Janine, while a toothless leer spread across his puffed cheeks. He was shirtless, and a sheen of sweat coated his transparent skin. The second ghost, a young man with tattoos across his shoulders and the sick pallor of a drug addict, was sitting in the tub, eyes turned to the ceiling, mouth drawn in a long line, face unnaturally thin. The water he sat in was tinged red. Two photographs from the bedroom captured a scene. Janine's bed, unmade and messy, from where she'd abandoned it after her nightmare the night before, in the center of the room. In the first photo, one of the cats was licking itself on the carpet, while a small child stood in the corner and watched it. The child, a girl with a gray dress and hair done into a harsh braid, had a sallow, joyless face and blank eyes that suggested a life of neglect. An opulently obese man lay prone on the bed, his singlet barely covering the rolls of fat under his puckered skin. He had one hand raised, gesticulating as if he were speaking. The second bedroom photo had been taken no more than a few seconds after the first. The man on the bed seemed to have become aware of the camera and looked directly towards it, his face contorted in anger. A new figure had come into view, a woman who had stepped from behind the cupboard where she'd been hidden. Her Victorian dress, with a high neckline and a low hem that fell over her boots, was spattered with dark stains. Her face was cold and severe as she stared at the camera. The girl was no longer watching the cat and stood directly before the camera, staring up at it. Her mouth was agape in a silent howl, revealing rotting teeth sticking out of dark gums. "Shoot," Bree whispered. "Oh, babe, you really should have called me. I could have closed the shop early. I could have." "To do what?" Janine asked. She threw the cushion towards the blank TV. It fell short and flopped to the ground. Bree wrapped her arms around Janine's shoulders and pulled her into a fierce hug. "Moral support, idiot, and wine. We can drink lots and lots of wine and forget about that stupid camera." Janine chuckled. "I think I've had enough wine for today. It made me feel sick." "Well then, we can watch cheesy romantic comedies and eat junk food and talk about how sucky my idiot boyfriend is. And we can have a sleepover. I can borrow your jammies, right?" Janine replied, leaning against Bree. "It's been years since we've had a sleepover. That would be nice." She hesitated. "As long as you're okay with it. I mean, I know I wouldn't want to sleep in a place with photos like that." "Hey, don't worry about it." Bree shrugged awkwardly. "Hell, that camera has taken pictures at 3 different places, and all of them were blighted by the Walking Dead. What makes you think my apartment would be any cleaner? It's older than this place, so it's probably lousy with ghosties."
"But still, it makes a difference when you've actually seen them."
"Yeah," Bree admitted. "That's true, but hey, safety in numbers, right? Come on, let's get a party happening." For the next hour, they did just that. Bree tuned the radio into a station that played songs Janine had never heard of, then pulled bag after bag of sweets and chips out of her shopping carrier. She'd obviously anticipated that comfort food might be required. They avoided Janine's room. The photos were still too fresh in their minds, and pulled spare mattresses and blankets into the living room, which had been relatively ghost-free in the photos. Bree chose a romantic comedy, but they turned it off halfway through, because it reminded Bree how much she hated Travis. They lay on the mattresses, staring at the blank screen, letting the silence wash over them. Two of the three cats had curled into tight balls on their blankets during the movie, and Janine scratched at the nearest one's head. "I've heard animals can tell when ghosts are around," Janine said at last. Bree rolled over. Her hair no longer fell into the tidy, well-groomed pixie cut, but stood up in patches. "I guess I've gotten used to them. If, and this is a big if, the camera really does show ghosts, then I think we can safely say there's a lot more of them than we thought."
"Not everyone who ever died," Janine said, "or there wouldn't be enough room for them to stand. But, yeah, a lot. Maybe just the ones who have unfinished business."
"Or were unhappy in life. None of them look very cheerful."
They stared at the ceiling for a long moment. The third cat arrived and flopped into the space between them.
"They've probably always been there, and we haven't been able to see them," Bree said. "Like cockroaches. They're horrible, and you don't want them about, but you don't lose sleep over them if you don't know they're there."
"Do you think they can hear us?"
"Don't know. The bedroom photos make it look like they react to the camera."
"Yeah."
"They've got to be harmless, though. No way could people be oblivious to that number of spooks if they were dangerous."
"Yeah."
"You don't sound convinced."
Janine exhaled in frustration. "It looks like I mean, they look angry, especially that man on my bed. I don't know if I'll ever feel comfortable sleeping there again. He looked furious, like he hated me. She rolled onto her stomach. I don't want people to hate me. Bree reached over and mussed Janine's hair. Oh, babe, that's inescapable. If I curled up into a defeated little ball just because people didn't like me, how could anyone not like you? Janine laughed. Bree mussed her hair harder. Janine sat up and pulled her knees under her chin. Do you think we should show someone? Bree didn't answer straight away, but stared at the corner opposite her, where the woman had been standing in the photograph. Who would you show it to? Ghost hunters? They're real, just not on TV, right? Sure, anything can be a job, just as long as you can find someone who'll pay you. So we could take the pictures to one of them, or maybe a photography expert. Or what about a journalist? Bree laughed. Wouldn't they just call it a hoax? We live in a world of Photoshop, babe. Anything can be faked. So what if we got fresh film and gave them a live demonstration? That'd be pretty hard to argue with. Bree sucked on her teeth. Yeah, maybe. You want to be famous? No. Janine paused, reached down and patted the cat at her side. No, I mean, no. I guess I want it to be someone else's problem. Yeah, so do I. They both turned to look at the corner, examining the neat plaster and trimming. Janine wondered if the woman with the crooked knees still stood there. I have some contacts in the photography business, Bree said. Someone will probably be able to rustle up some Polaroids. I don't think there are many around anymore, but we'll only need a few. Janine was the first to look away from the corner of the room. Do you think ours is the only camera that does this? Ours? Bree laughed. It's your camera, babe. Don't lump me in with your problems. Be serious. What do you think? I think, well, it's got to be a 1 in a million, maybe 1 in a billion chance that it is. I don't think this is the only one. We might be able to find something about it online then. The majestic Google will answer our every question. Come on, Bree, I'm trying to be serious. Bree snickered. I am. Google knows everything. Just type in, my camera takes pictures of ghosts. How do I make it stop, please? And it'll answer you. Janine threw her pillow at Bree, but she couldn't stop herself from joining in the laughter. For a few brief moments, she imagined she was in middle school again, carefree and safe at a sleepover at Bree's place. Janine woke up shortly after 9 in the morning. By the state of the kitchen and living room, she guessed Bree had already been up for several hours. She pulled herself to her feet, kicking aside stray cushions and chip bags. She found Bree in the spare room, practicing Pilates in a space she'd cleared in the floor. She was puffing and sweating and had her game face on. Janine shook her head and rubbed sleep out of her eyes. Don't you ever slow down? Life's too short to go slow. Bree contorted her body into a pose that looked neither comfortable nor healthy. Come, grasshopper, sit, and I will show you the wonders of early morning exercise. I'm good. Don't you need to be at work? It's a Saturday. So you always work on Saturdays. Bree shook her short mane out of her eyes as she rolled onto her back and began pumping her legs. Decided I'd prefer to keep my weekends to myself. I called Nina. She doesn't mind picking up the extra shifts. Janine sat down on the floor and pulled her legs in under her. You're doing this so you can stay with me, aren't you? Well, I was going to play the role of the anonymous martyr, but if you must spoil my fun, yes. Don't, Bree, really. I don't need a babysitter. Who says this is for you, doll? Bree let out a huge puff of air and pulled herself into a sitting position. Janine had always thought Pilates was a gentle, delicate sort of exercise, but Bree's regime was significantly more taxing and aggressive than she had imagined. If you want the pure and honest truth, I'm not so thrilled about this ghost stuff either. You saw that gal in my shop. Hell, I don't want to be sitting around there all day with just her for company. Janine smiled. Thanks, Bree. I mean it. If I had to choose between spending the day with you and a ghastly, hideous being from another plane, you'd win. Just barely, though. She winked and began folding up the blanket she'd been exercising on. Got any plans for today? Legal reading, but I don't think I'll get far with that. Good, because I called one of my contacts, and he's got a few packs of Polaroid film he'll sell us. Give me a minute to shower, and we can go get them. Chapter 3. They took Bree's car, a tiny pink thing with ads for her floristry plastered across the doors.
Bree's phone rang not long after they left the suburbs. Should we answer that? Janine asked the second time it played the K-pop ringtone.
Nope.
Bree's face could have been made out of granite. Is it Travis?
Yep.
Oh. Janine stared at the ringing phone as it flashed inside Bree's bag. Bree and Travis had argued before, sometimes having huge screaming matches, but they'd always made up quickly. Travis would come around with a bunch of flowers he'd stolen from the neighbor's garden, or bring tickets for an indie band, and Bree would keep up the pretense of anger for 2 minutes, tops. Their most recent spat was different, though. Bree was really, truly mad at him in a way Janine had never seen before. Have you spoken to him since yesterday?
Yep, don't ask.
Bree turned the radio on and grinned. Oh man, I love this song. That put a stop to the conversation for the rest of the hour drive. They arrived at a house with a garden choked with weeds, an empty, crooked birdbath, and peeling paint. Piles of dead, rotting vegetation sat in the corner of the yard.
This is it? Janine asked.
Looks like it.
Bree was in high spirits as she bounded out of the car and up the driveway. The transaction took less than a minute. An aged, balding man answered the door, and he seemed genuinely happy to see Bree. He handed over an envelope in exchange for a handful of cash, then waved them off. They sat in the car while Janine opened the packet and fit the 10 Polaroids into the camera.
We'd better test it, Bree suggested.
Take a photo of the house. It looks ancient, and I'll bet there's a pile of spirits hanging around. Janine aimed the camera and clicked the button. Bree took the Polaroid that it spat out and tucked it into the glove box before the light could damage it.
Want to stop somewhere on the way home?
She asked as she put the car into gear.
What did you have in mind?
Doesn't matter to me. The beach? A park? Disneyland?
Disneyland, Janine laughed. As if I could afford the ticket. We can't all be rich like you.
Bree scoffed, but her face was serious.
It's cool. I'll shout you.
What? Absolutely not.
Bree pursed her lips but didn't push it. Janine stared out the window at the houses speeding by. The fresh, hot day had just enough breeze to stop it from being unbearably warm. The weather was too nice to spend the day indoors, but Janine suspected that wasn't why Bree had suggested they stop somewhere.
You really don't want to talk to Travis, do you?
Bree considered her answer carefully.
No, I think we might be over this time.
Because of the prank?
No.
Bree shook her head, and even though she was smiling, tears gathered in her eyes.
No, this was just a culmination, I guess.
Janine waited, letting the silence stretch out as a gentle encouragement to continue. Bree wiped her eyes, smudging her makeup.
He called me this morning before you woke up. I said some stuff I shouldn't have. He blew up, started dragging up all these things I thought we were over.
Old stuff.
I got mad. He called me crazy, said I'm a psycho, that I'm ruining his life.
She fell silent, dragging in thick gulps of air. Her mascara was smearing, and her fingers twitched on the wheel from agitation. Janine tried to say something helpful, but her mind was blank. She managed to mumble,
I don't think you're a psycho.
Bree laughed and rubbed at her eyes.
You're all right, babe, you know that?
You're all right.
Let's go somewhere. You pick.
They ended up taking a detour to a seaside park. Bree stopped the car under a tree and stretched, rotating her shoulders to loosen them.
You're lucky I bring an emergency picnic kit in the back of my car.
Seriously?
Janine squirmed to look behind her. Where do you even keep it?
Where the spare tire should be.
Hey, did you want to check the photo before we get out?
Janine opened the glove box and pulled out the square card.
One part of her expected to see ghosts milling about the building, as they had been at her home. The other expected the photo to be empty. Just a boring, aged house in a boring, aged suburb. What was actually in the picture made her shudder. A woman, all pale grays and blacks, was pressed up against the car window. Her hands were splayed against the glass, ending not in fingernails but in yellowed claws. Thin hair floated about her wrinkled face, and her white, sightless eyes stared intently. Her mouth was open wide in a silent scream, much wider than it ever could have opened in life. And the blackness inside seemed to go on forever.
Bree grimaced. Ugh, lovely. I guess at least the camera works.
Right, she replied automatically, staring at the woman's dress, which looked incredibly familiar.
Her mind turned back to the very first photo she'd taken with the camera. A woman with a shock of white hair had been standing beside the cake table, wearing a dress with a very similar floral print. She couldn't possibly be the same woman, could she? Bree got out of the car and stalked to the boot.
"Give me a hand, won't you?"
she yelled, wrestling her picnic basket out. Jeanine shoved the photo back into the glove box, then turned to open the door. She froze. Two handprints had been left on the glass. Surely it couldn't be. Bree called her again, and Jeanine scooted out of the car as quickly as her feet could move her. Bree had been surprisingly resourceful when setting up her emergency picnic basket, which was stocked with canned soup, packet biscuits, and long life fruit juice. Jeanine couldn't help but imagine it was intended to double as supplies for an apocalypse. The large park was shady, and one side overlooked the ocean. They found a tree in a relatively empty corner and unpacked the basket. Bree had brought every type of cutlery imaginable, except for a can opener. So they ate the biscuits and drank the juice while watching a group of children play tag at the other side of the park. "This is nice," Jeanine said to break the silence. "We haven't done this for ages."
"I know. You're always too busy with the law books."
Jeanine choked on her biscuit. "What? When have I ever turned down a chance to hang out? You're the one who spends all day in your store." "You hardly ever visit me either," Bree sighed, throwing herself backwards onto the grass.
"You think you're too good for me, now that you're getting your big old lawyer degree."
Jeanine took a second to realize her friend was teasing. She laughed. "Solicitor, and you know I love you."
"You skipped my last birthday party."
"Left early," she corrected. "I stayed as long as I could. You know I hate crowds."
"You didn't notice when I got my haircut."
"I did, too."
"Nearly 2 weeks after the event, babe."
Bree laughed and poked Jeanine's thigh.
"I swear, you're worse than Travis."
Jeanine couldn't stop herself from pouting. "Fine, you got me. I'm a terrible human being, and you're the reincarnation of Buddha." Bree grinned as she rolled onto her stomach.
"Don't sulk. I can't help it if I'm perfect in every single way."
"And very humble to boot."
"You know it."
Jeanine gazed at the families who were slowly filling up the park for lunchtime. She found herself thinking about their futures, wondering how many of the couples would still be together in 20 years, which of them would die prematurely, and how many would still be talking to each other in a decade. "Half, maybe?"
"We're good friends, aren't we?" she asked Bree.
"The best?" "I wish we could keep doing this forever."
"Who says we can't?"
Bree sat up and wrapped an arm around Jeanine's shoulder.
"It's not like I'd let something silly like mortality get in the way of our friendship."
"I was being serious."
"Okay." Bree kicked her feet out in front of herself. "Maybe we won't always be together. Maybe you'll get that cool job in the big city. Maybe I'll start a new floristry in Antarctica. But I'd like to think that we're the kind of friends who could meet up one day when we're 80 and talk like we've just seen each other yesterday."
Jeanine rested her hand on Bree's shoulder and smiled. Bree seemed to have a knack for verbalizing exactly what Jeanine needed to hear. She closed her eyes and listened to the wind whipping through the branches above them and the shrieking children in the play area. She felt comfortable. Safe. An ice-cold finger grazed Jeanine's neck. She jerked forward and clamped her hand over where she'd been touched.
"What's up?"
Bree asked. Jeanine swiveled around, but there was nothing behind her except the tree.
I thought I felt something." "Insect, probably."
Jeanine kept her hand clamped over the back of her neck. Her skin tingled as though she'd been zapped with a low-voltage electric current. "Do you want to stay much longer?"
"Nah," Bree said. "It's about time we got going. You mind if I stay with you again tonight?"
"That would be nice." She helped Bree pack her picnic basket and shove it into the boot. The sun was hot and the air smelled of summer, but she couldn't stop shivering, even after she got into the overheated car. Bree got into the driver's seat and turned the engine over. Jeanine reached out a hand to stop her.
"Hang on, I want to try something."
She pulled the camera out of the glove box, aimed it at the tree they'd been sitting under, and took a photo.
"Ready to go?"
Jeanine tucked the undeveloped Polaroid into her pocket.
"Sure.
I'll pick up some clothes from my place on the way home," Bree said as she exited the freeway.
"Your stuff doesn't fit me properly anyway."
"Sorry."
"Not your fault you're a beanpole,"
Bree teased.
"I'll grab my order forms while I'm there. I can use this weekend to make a list of everything I'm running low on."
"You don't need to be in the store for that?"
"Huh? No, I've got it memorized."
Jeanine sucked her teeth ruefully. She needed a to-do list if she had more than 3 tasks on her plate. Bree's apartment sat above the floristry. The street was quiet for a Saturday afternoon. A handful of parked cars were scattered down the curb, but most stores were already closed. Bree drove past 2 free spots in front of the floristry without slowing down.
"Aren't we stopping?"
"Changed my mind,"
Bree said. Her tone was abrupt and her mouth had set into a thin line. Janine swiveled in her seat to watch the floristry disappear behind them.
"Hey, isn't that Travis's car?"
Bree didn't reply, and Janine felt acutely uncomfortable.
"Oh."
She wondered how long he'd been waiting there for Bree to come back. Bree hadn't answered her phone all day. He had to be worried, and it wasn't like Bree to ignore him for so long.
"I might have to borrow your clothes again, babe,"
Bree said. Her voice had softened, but a frown had set in above her eyes.
"Yeah, sure. Are you... I mean..."
"I'll talk to him eventually,"
Bree said. "Just not right now."
And you didn't need the order forms?"
"I'll do them Monday."
They got back to Janine's place late in the afternoon. The air was still hot, but the humidity had dropped to a more comfortable level. Bree turned the kettle on, while Janine put the camera on top of the fridge. The 3 cats wove themselves about her legs, mewling and bumping against her.
"Okay, okay, slow down,"
Janine whispered as she got their food out of the fridge. The mattresses and blankets were where they'd left them that morning. Janine didn't see any point in putting them away if they were just going to come out again in 6 hours, so she kicked them into alignment and picked up the empty chip bags and glasses from the coffee table.
"What do you want to do first?"
Bree asked.
"Take some time to study? Or look up a ghost hunting expert?"
Janine rubbed a hand over the still chilled part of her neck. "Let's find the expert first. They probably won't be able to come out for a few days anyway."
"Laptop?"
"In my bedroom." Janine got out 2 mugs and poured the boiling water into them, while Bree fetched the computer. She made tea for herself and coffee, extra strong, no sugar, and lots of milk, for Bree. Her friend had set up the laptop on the kitchen table and was opening Google by the time she brought the mugs over.
"Is there a technical name for someone who investigates ghosts?"
Bree asked, fingers poised over the keyboard.
"If there is, I haven't heard of it."
"We'll start with ghost researcher then."
Surprisingly, the search brought up quite a few results. Bree opened the top link, which led to the blog of a researcher named Richard Holt, who lived about an hour away.
"Ghosts. Damned or desperate,"
Bree read, scrolling down the page. "The truth about the Mallory haunting. Haunted items versus haunted locations.
Hey, this could be good."
"Does he have a contact number?"
"Yeah."
Bree opened the contact us page.
"Looks like he charges an hourly fee, though."
"Okay, sure."
Janine felt silly for expecting someone to help them for free. Her funds were tight, but she could probably get a loan from the bank or sell the TV she didn't use. Bree had her mobile out and was dialing the number.
"We'll split it."
"What? Hey, no, you don't have to..."
Janine withered under Bree's glare.
"We'll split this thing 50-50. That means any profits from interviews or book deals or whatever, too. Sound fair?"
"Oh, sure, okay."
She doubted they were likely to make a profit off the camera, but the idea was tempting. She still couldn't shake the feeling that Bree was doing her a favor, though.
"Yes, hello?"
Bree said into the phone.
"Okay, great. Sorry for calling on a weekend. My friend and I have a ghost problem we'd like to talk with you about."
Bree put the phone on the table and pressed the speaker button just in time for Janine to hear,
"Well, that's my specialty. Haunted item or haunted location?"
Richard's smooth voice reminded Janine of the relationship advisor, who had a segment on evening radio.
"Item," Bree said. "Good. They're normally easier to deal with. Would you like me to make a house call, or would you prefer to visit my office?"
They exchanged a glance.
"House call would be easier, if you're traveling by us. We're in West Harrob."
"I have a few clients down that way. That shouldn't be a problem. I have Tuesday afternoon free if that suits you."
Janine whispered, "What about the floristry?"
Bree waved her away.
"Tuesday's great."
"Excellent. I'll take a few details if you don't mind. What's the item and how long has it been a problem?"
"It's an old Polaroid camera my friend found 2 days ago. The pictures all have ghost, spirit, things in them."
The line was silent. Janine and Bree exchanged a glance.
Hello? Still there?"
"I won't be able to help you,"
the man said. The mellow tone had disappeared from his voice, which had become curt and vaguely defensive.
"I recommend you destroy the camera."
"Wait, what?"
So you can't get here on Tuesday? We can reschedule.
I won't be able to help you,
he repeated, his tone lower and colder.
The best thing you can do is break and burn the camera. Goodbye.
The line went dead. Janine sat back in her chair and rubbed at her arms, feeling prickles trail up her neck.
What the hell?
Bree snapped, tossing her phone onto the table. It bounced but didn't break.
What a jerk.
Maybe we should try someone else.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to find someone who isn't a total jerk to prospective customers.
Janine cringed. Hey, maybe cameras are out of his area. Maybe he only does cursed dolls or whatever.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Bree was mad. Janine had seen her similarly angry a few times, mostly because of Travis, and she knew it was best to stay quiet while her friend worked through it. That day, Bree's method of working through it seemed to involve finding an alternative ghost expert as quickly as possible.
Here, she said, pulling up the second result. Irene Sumner looks like...
Okay, so she specializes in haunted houses, but she should be able to handle a little camera, right? Irene answered quickly, and Bree put the phone on speaker.
Hey,
she said, unaware she was letting anger seep into her voice.
We have a camera that takes pictures of ghosts. Could you look into it for us?
Oh. Irene said. She sounded like an older woman, and her voice was so soft that Bree had to increase the phone's volume.
I'm sorry, darling. I really only handle haunted buildings. I haven't had all that much success with haunted objects, I'm afraid.
Okay, thanks anyway. Bree spoke through gritted teeth, but managed to put a bit of cheer in her voice. Have a lovely evening.
I could recommend someone, though.
Bree's jaw unclenched, and she leaned forward.
Yeah? That would be great. There's a gentleman who specializes in the area. He's done a lot of work, published some great theories, and he lectures at one of the local colleges. He's got a website you can look through, too. His name is Richard Holt.
Bree's smile returned to its plastic state.
Right, she said. Is there anyone else you could recommend?
Sorry, dear, he's really the best. I mean, I would have suggested Jackson. He was a lovely fellow, really knew how to speak to spirits, but he moved to Canada last year.
Okay, great. Thanks for your help.
Bree hung up and turned to Janine with a grim expression.
Richard Holt is a jerk, she said.
Uh-huh.
I'm not calling him again. I'll find someone else.
Sure. I'll make us some fresh drinks.
Janine listened in on the next two phone conversations while she waited for the kettle to boil and made a tea for herself and a coffee for Bree. The first call was with a middle-aged woman who breathed heavily and spoke with a nearly incomprehensible accent. She and Bree couldn't understand each other, and Bree ended the call with an exasperated sigh. The call to the next ghost hunter seemed promising until he brought up Richard Holt's name. To Bree's credit, she remained polite and calm until she'd hung up. Then she threw her hands in the air with an exasperated groan.
Why is everyone in love with this Holt jerk?
Sensing Bree's bad mood was breaking, Janine brought over the cups. She sat forward in her chair and leaned her chin on her hands.
Maybe he really is the best. Why hang up on us then?
Janine shrugged. Bree blew a gust of wind through her pursed lips.
Okay, we'll call him again. Not that he deserves it.
He answered on the second ring. The smooth tone was back into his voice and he said,
Richard Holt speaking, how can I help you?
Hey, yeah, we called you a bit earlier. We've got a problem with our camera.
Oh, yes, of course.
The tightness returned to his voice, but he didn't try to hang up.
Did you destroy it?
Hell no, we don't want it broken. We just want to know what's happening. And we thought it might, I don't know, be useful for your type of people. Ghost investigators, that is.
No, I'm afraid it won't. The best thing to do is break it apart and burn it.
Bree pursed her lips as she glanced at Janine.
Oh yeah? What's making you say that? Do you have a camera of your own that you're doing experiments on? Are you trying to stop us from stealing your thunder?
She got a frustrated sigh in response.
Not at all. I'm trying to help. Destroy the camera.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll take this straight to the media. I'm sure they'd love proof of life after death.
Don't.
His voice was sharp.
Whatever you do, don't give it to the media. Don't show anyone else. Just, please, you have to trust me. What you have is a dangerous, sick aberration. It needs to be destroyed before it can do any further harm.
I'm going to level with you, Holt,
Bree said. She leaned over the table, placing one spread hand on either side of the phone, as she loomed over it.
I don't like you, and I don't trust you. Both of those facts are making it pretty hard for me to want to follow your instructions. If you can help us, go ahead. But otherwise,
I'm going to have to hang up and do whatever I damn well please with my camera.
Richard was silent for a very long time. Bree sat back in her chair, folded her arms, and waited.
Okay, he said at last. All right, you win. What's your address?
Chapter 4. Yawning, Bree stretched her arms above her head, reminding Janine of one of her cats.
Well, I'd say that went all right. Mr. Holt got to eat crow, and we get the supposed expert popping around this afternoon. Win-win.
For us, at least, he didn't sound very happy. Bree stood up and carried her empty coffee mug to the sink.
I'll bet it's because he's got his own camera. He doesn't want us showing him up.
She paused and pursed her lips.
On that note, we'd better hide the camera. He's a little too obsessed with its destruction for my liking.
Janine picked the camera up and turned it over in her hands.
In a drawer?
Works for me.
Bree stashed the camera inside the coffee table's drawer, then rubbed her hands over her jeans.
You got anything else planned for today?
I've really got to do some reading.
Janine apologized.
I've got an assignment on Wednesday.
It's cool, babe. I can place orders for the store. Mind if I borrow your laptop?
Bree set up the computer on the coffee table and sat on a cushion in front of it. Janine made good headway on her reading, and Bree was considerate enough to move quietly whenever she refilled her coffee mug, which was often. Bree's creative output was heavily dependent on how much caffeine was in her system. It was nearing dinner time and Janine was close to wrapping up her work when she felt a breeze on the back of her neck. The sensation was as cold as a gust of air from the freezer, and it sent goosebumps along her skin. She jerked away from the chill, but the room behind her was empty. Soft fingers brushed her arm, raising the hairs there.
Bree?
She called, jumping up from her seat and rubbing her hands across where she'd felt the sensations.
Bree, I'm freaking out.
What's up, babe?
Bree leaned back from the computer, a pencil balanced between her upper lip and her nose. She had at least 20 tabs open to packaging sites and was holding a piece of paper covered in neat notes. Janine sat down next to her.
Things keep touching me. I don't know what.
What, like?
Bree frowned as she made the connection.
You don't mean ghosts, do you?
I don't know.
Janine combed her fingers through her hair.
Something cold, like fingers. It happened at the park and again here.
Do you think a photo might show something?
Janine glanced at the drawer where the camera was hidden. Part of her wanted to try it, but the thought of glimpsing more of the entities sharing her home made her feel sick. Bree wrapped an arm around her shoulder.
Hey, it's okay. It's probably just that you're on edge. You're reacting to every little noise, every breeze, and wondering if it might be a ghost. Just try to relax if you can. Can I get you something else to drink?
No.
Okay, then how about you help me pick out some new ribbons? I'm low on gold.
Janine nodded and tried to focus on the screen as Bree rattled through the options. She was grateful for the company. The warmth of Bree's shoulder, the sound of her voice, and the simple fact that she didn't have to spend the night alone was enough comfort to make her feel drowsy. She would have to do something about dinner soon, though. She considered taking the easy route and having a pizza delivered. She could even splurge a little and get the cheesy garlic bread Bree liked. Fingers ran through her hair, grazed over the nape of her neck, and trailed over her shoulder. Her skin burnt cold where long fingernails scratched her. Janine jerked forward.
Bree, cut that out!
Her voice was higher and more frantic than she had intended. Bree stared at her in shock.
What, you don't like the ruffles?
Don't scratch me like that, it's a horrible joke.
Bree's eyes were wide.
I didn't.
Janine glanced down at Bree's hand. Her nails were short. Whatever had scratched her had been long and sharp. She touched a hand to the burning part of her neck, and her fingers came away with a smear of blood on them.
Oh, oh.
She felt as if she were about to be sick. Her throat closed up, making it hard to breathe, and tears stung at the corners of her eyes.
Oh.
Bree's face was set in hard angles. She wrenched open the coffee table drawer, snatched up the camera, pointed it at Janine, and took a picture. It spat out the undeveloped image, and she slid it into the drawer, then hooked one arm under Janine's and pulled her to her feet. Come on. Bree must have sensed Janine was queasy, because they made it to the sink just in time. She held Janine's hair back and rubbed her shoulder as she gagged and retched.
You okay?
She asked as Janine slumped, shivering, onto the counter. She nodded and Bree offered her a glass of water to rinse her mouth.
Listen, Jenny, I don't know what happened back there, but it's going to be okay. That expert jerk will be here soon. He'll know what to do. Just don't freak out on me, okay?